USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Senate passed legislation by a voice vote on Friday to reopen the federal government through February 15th without providing money for President Trump's border wall. The House is expected to quickly approve the bill, sending it to the president's desk, ending the longest partial government shutdown in U.S. history. The president reminds Democrats,
as everyone knows, I have a very powerful alternative, but I didn't want to use it at this time.
The U.S. State Department is ordering all its non-emergency workers to leave Venezuela immediately amid the political crisis. President Nicolas Maduro has ordered all the diplomats out of the country, but the U.S. has said it will not recognize any orders from him. Former U.N. Ambassador Bill Richardson.
What will the Venezuelan military do? Now, so far, they've pledged their support for Maduro, but there's erosion.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you want a more honest media? Hello, my name is Robert Farrow, and I've grown tired of shadow banning, censorship, and one-sided reporting from today's news and social media companies. That's why my team created righttovoice.com. We don't push aside. That's right, the number two, and voice. We don't push aside. We include all the sides so you can make a choice in what you read and say and what appears on your wall. And we respect your privacy and don't sell your data. righttovoice.com. It's the only place where you'll get all the news. It's usually one click to join, so check us out today. righttovoice.com. We don't push aside. That's right, the number two, and voice. We don't push aside. We include all the sides so you can make a choice in what you read and say and what appears on your wall. And we respect your privacy and don't sell your data. righttovoice.com.
A new social media report reveals how fake news affected people during the presidential election. Here's USA Radio Network's Wendy King with more.
Researchers writing in the journal Science examined the Twitter accounts of more than 16,000 users during the height of the 2016 election campaign. They found just 16 of them spread 80% of all the misinformation that was masquerading as news. Those who did were more likely to be over the age of 65 and politically conservative. The super sharers were active, sharing more than 300 bits of fake information each between August and December. The study reached conclusions that were similar to one released this month about misinformation spread by Facebook.
A teacher strike in Denver is on hold. That's according to Colorado union officials. The Denver Classroom Teachers Association voted this week to go on strike, but Denver Public Schools requested state intervention. Currently, they're working out the logistics regarding that intervention. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
On December 22, 2017, President Trump signed the Tax Cuts and Job Act. As people are preparing to do their taxes, what are we seeing, though, regarding some of these new laws? Paul Hoffman is a certified public accountant. He tells you what the main things are you need to know moving forward.
It appears that approximately 70% of all taxpayers will pay less tax. I mean, keeping politics aside, that's what the initial indications are. People will get some nice benefits who have young children, as the child tax credit has been increased from $1,000 to $2,000, and that's for children under the age of 17. And the biggest thing this year under the new plan is what's called qualified business income deduction. It's very complicated to explain in a short interview, but basically, people who have businesses, or at least most types of businesses, will in effect get a 20% break on the taxability of their income. There will be some negative things, like the loss of some real estate taxes and the loss of personal exemptions. But the positive thing is that the tax tables, the tax brackets, have decreased in just about all the brackets. So that's a very positive thing as well.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Have you heard about point-of-care testing? It's been available in much of the world for years, and now it's finally come to Utah. Stuckey Family Pharmacy now offers point-of-care testing. That means you can go to the pharmacy for flu, strep, cholesterol, and glucose tests. You'll get results within minutes. You'll be able to discuss your results with the pharmacist, and when appropriate, get the proper prescription medications through their point-of-care providers, all in one stop. Think about it. Your child wakes up with a fever, sore throat. You can quickly get an answer without having to wait all day at a doctor's office. Stuckey Family Pharmacy will work closely with your primary care provider, and if they think you need to see the doctor, they'll tell you. Imagine the time you'll save. As you know, Sam and his team at Stuckey Family Pharmacy strive to provide quality patient care. Point of care testing is just the next step in keeping our community healthy. Quicker diagnosis and treatment will save lives. Point of care testing. Learn more at StuckeyFamilyPharmacy.com. Stuckey Family Pharmacy, leading the way.
Remember, if anyone asks, we're a nice, normal talk show. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I was recently asked, what is the mission statement for your show? How do you describe the Kate Daly Show? It honestly took me a minute before I could even come up with an answer, because this show is not like any other conservative talk show out there. This show is so different, but it has to be. It's not about propping up one party and blaming the other on a daily basis. It's about getting to the truth, the uncomfortable truth. I'm on this journey to cut through the propaganda that we've been fed and to uncover the truth about our world and our government and what's been going on. Is this show controversial? Yes. You will not leave this show every day without having learned something important or even valuable about how we view the world. We have to say what isn't being said out loud. And in order to do that, we have to check our fear and our political correctness at the door. We get to have over 400 guests a year that visit the show. I have 9 incredible co-hosts that come and join me on a daily basis with a different point of view every single day. We have to get our country back. We have to. We are running out of time. Let's do this. Hi there. Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Our previous guest, Daniel Eschelin, the book is In the Shadows of a Presidency. Make sure you get that book. And I'm also going to take what I didn't air and put that on a special podcast for you on katedalyradio.com that'll be up tonight. And I encourage you to listen, because he filled in a lot of gaps of what we're, well, of course, what we're not told. And then also kind of filling in the gaps on the more global picture, the fight for platforms, the fight for economy, the fight for regions is huge. And we have to have that basic understanding moving forward. It's going to be very, very important on the world stage. And so I am really excited about this hour as well, as we launch into this hour. And I will be taking calls at the end of this hour, in that last segment, regarding both subjects we're talking about. And they're vastly different, which I always like about this show, that we can do that. And so let me bring on my second guest for the show today, because this is a fascinating topic and one that I've always had reservations about. But that's exactly why I have guests on, so that I can understand what they understand, so I can challenge what I think and also be open to the things that I thought I have decided on a long time ago, but also open to new understandings or new points of view. And so with that being said, I want to invite Chris Rakowski on. You are the Canadian science writer and educator, probably the foremost on this subject in Canada. I did interview the Canadian Minister of Defense, Paul Hellyer, a couple years ago, and it was a fascinating interview because of all of the things that he understood from even his point of view from government and what they had been hiding. And so it was a great interview, and I so welcome you, because I don't realize, I hope people realize that when wanting somebody on this subject, you're probably one of the first phone calls, Chris.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to know.
Well, absolutely the truth, too. You actually have, since the mid-1970s, you've written about your investigations and research on UFOs, for which you are best known. And then you've been involved in a lot of different writing, science fiction writing, all kinds of things, media projects for more than 30 years, TV specials, newspaper columns, and 9 published books on UFOs and related issues to that. And where can people find, before we get going, where can people find more information on the things that you talk about and that you're expressing today?
Well, certainly they can go to my blog, which is Euforum, U-F-O-R-U-M, .blogspot.com. And I cover a lot of things you may not have known about. Of course, there is an emphasis on Canadian things because I do tend to focus on that for a number of reasons. But then I do cover other things that have been in the news between what NASA scientists are saying to some other quotes in the news, things that you may have seen in popular culture, because it's part of who we are. You know, we've always had this fascination as humans, whether we're alone in the universe, and that has spawned so many science fiction stories and just wonderful adventures that you can read about, and all the TV shows and all the movies, and you know, people are fascinated with this type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely, because we're not going up into space, so we rely on people to write about it and to deliver information, and of course, it seems as though there's always been bits of information coming out, and then it also seems as though governments seek to conceal information.
So. Well, yeah, and you know, there's a lot of mythology around ufology. Mm-hmm. Exactly to what extent governments are covering up, and you know, they really have the classic little green men in pickle jars somewhere, and all that sort of stuff. And you know, it turns out that Canada is actually a little more unusual than the United States in terms of the UFO scene, because people talking about disclosure and cover-up, well, we have many, many documents. In fact, the National Archives of Canada has something like 8,000 to 10,000 documents on UFOs from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, threat from the Royal Canadian Air Force, some joint stuff with the United States Air Force. And to this day, I get official reports of UFOs from Transport Canada, which is the Canadian version of the FAA, and things are coming through all the time. So we're getting these reports, we're getting the sightings from pilots, from you know, lay people from one end of the country to the other. And you know, 10% of the North American population believe they've seen UFOs. And you look at the population statistics, that means there's a lot of people who have seen things. And all the reports that, you know, the tens of thousands, or in the case of you know, the United States, hundreds of thousands in many cases, the reports are factual. You know, we get these reports and we can hold them in our hands. We can talk to the people who've seen them. So this is the basis for all the speculation, for all the fantastical stories and adventures that you see on TV and hear about, read in the tabloids and so forth. There's a basis in fact here. And that's the type of thing that I'm interested in. And so I spend a lot of time talking to people who've seen things, investigating, trying to understand exactly what people have seen, and to put that in a scientific context is my background. I have degrees in astronomy and education. I speak at scientific conferences. I speak at UFO conferences sometimes if they let me in. and the idea is to talk to people, because this is a subject that people are interested in. And I think it's a way to engage people and get them interested in science as well, because astronomy by itself is fascinating. Just imagine if there's life out there too.
Oh, absolutely. What is the most common thread? After all the people that you've interviewed, is there a common sighting that has taken place more than any other? The type of
The statistics show that the typical UFO sighting takes place somewhere around 11 o'clock at night. And it's usually not just one person by him or herself. There's usually two people. In other words, somebody is seeing something and has enough time and presence of mind to nudge them with an elbow in the ribs and say, are you seeing what I'm seeing? And it's typically a light. It's just a light. The typical sighting is simply a light moving in the sky that doesn't seem to be a star or a planet or a plane or whatever, and seen over a period of a number of minutes, that gives you time to say, well, that's not really a star if it's you know, moving around. So there are these commonalities, and that comes out of the statistics. And so in Canada alone, there's 1,000 UFO reports every year, and about 10,000 or 15,000 every year in the United States. So there's a lot of cases that are being built up over the years through databases, and it's my interest to try and sort through all those to try and find the gold among the dross, I suppose.
Okay, perfect. I think one of the big questions too is, are they in these accounts, what would you say mostly happens? They hover and go, or they see anything land and go, or what would you say in the accounts is pretty typical? of what they've
typical
seen.
Typical is that somebody's observing something from a distance. It's moving across their field of view.
Okay.
Only in rare cases, in fact, a very small percentage are the classic close encounters, just like that movie, where you know somebody sees something within about 150 yards or so. That's actually very, very rare. The typical sighting is much further away. And yet these sightings do occur. We do get cases of things, you know, seemingly not very far away at all. Mm-hmm. And not only that, when we get cases where there are multiple witnesses, a couple of people separated by some distance who say, well, I saw that and I was 10 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the fascinating cases. And then there are cases where there is some physical evidence left, something on the ground, marks, bits of artifacts or whatever. We do get cases like that. Historically, many more in the past, relatively rare now. So maybe the phenomenon itself is evolving, which itself is interesting.
Oh, yeah. And we're talking with Chris Rutkowski, who is one of the foremost experts on this topic. Like I said, he's usually one of the first calls you make when you have these kinds of questions because of your research and what you've been able to do with this information. And I think, you know, for the skeptic in me, I think one of the questions I would have, and maybe some people are asking this when they see something, what could be, is there any way, and I would imagine, that there could be a manipulation of what you're seeing because maybe it's something in technology that's been done? Because I've always been under the understanding, after even talking to those experts around DARPA, that they're about 30 years ahead. So they can construct things that we would not normally recognize. What would be your answer to that?
Well, I think that's a very good suggestion that, you know, there is technology out there that we simply don't know. There is a pumpkin seed aircraft. That was the nickname of it. Sort of a stealth high-flying thing, very, very fast. That was observed by a lot of aircraft spotters long before it was officially announced through aerospace magazines that the United States Air Force had been test flying these things. And, you know, they're always flying things out of, you know, the classic Area 51 and other bases around North America. It's very, very possible that there's some technology out there that, you know, we haven't really caught up to. On the other hand, you know, we still are using versions of the space shuttle, you know, the heavy lifting project and that type of thing to get into space. So we don't quite have flying saucers yet, and yet we have all these reports of things that seem to be Hollywood-style flying saucers. So what do you do in that situation? You know, it's hard to conceive for me that the government would spend billions and billions of dollars on heavy lift orbital spacecraft if they actually had flying saucers already. So I think, you know, there is probably something to the idea that there's more technology out there we don't know, but is it as advanced as some of the science fiction stuff says? Probably not.
Okay. We have a quick question from the audience, and then we're going to be headed to a break. We'll bring you back in just a few minutes, but go ahead, caller.
Yeah, there's recently I've seen a unique video that's out of recording off of a drone. It was done up in Beaver, Utah, which is local to us here. And it was very unique that in the drone footage, you can see the object at a distance coming at a intersects the drone as it's flying. It's a unique video.
Okay, yeah. And you never know. I mean, I'm sure that there probably have been, thanks, caller, have been a lot of unique, you know, maybe craft or whatever you want to call it that people are seeing. Or are they mostly seeing around sort of the same thing? Chris?
Well, you know, the drones are certainly a big problem right now in ufology because many sightings come to us and they do turn out to be people flying drones. In fact, there was a case up in Canada a few years ago where an airline flight, a commercial airline flight, had to take evasive maneuvers because something that probably was a drone was flying right in their airspace and they had to take a dive to get underneath them, injuring some of the passengers. So, you know, these types of things are happening more and more. And, you know, can drones, with their wide range?
Right? I mean, it could be.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to come right back. More with Chris Rutkowski when we come back. The expert on UFOs will be right back and maybe even take some of your calls. KateDalyRadio.com, The Kate Daly Show.
Hi, this is Lee with CBD American Shaman. I am thrilled to announce we are open for business. Stop in and try the best CBD products available on the market with free samples. Find out what works best for you. We have CBD experts on hand to answer all your questions. American Shaman is 9 times stronger than any other CBD. American Shaman is your source for natural wellness healing. Our products are all natural and organic. located next to St. George Running Center at 2736 East Red Cliffs Drive, St. George. American Shaman, where you can realize your dream of a healthy mind, body, and spirit.
Are you trying to lose weight and get in shape? Are you trying to recover from an injury or surgery? Or are you trying to improve your overall health? A swim spa or hot tub can offer you a multitude of options to lose weight, get in shape, and improve your cardiovascular health. Absolute Comfort Spa and Pool has an amazing combination hot tub swim spa unit. Let Absolute Spa show you how quick, easy, and affordable it can be to own your own hot tub or swim pool. Absolute Comfort Spa and Pool, 765 North Bluff Street, or absolutecomfortutah.com to learn more.
Outdoor Living has the finest selection of customizable designer patio furniture in Southern Utah, and they're having a year-end inventory clearance sale. Outdoor Living needs to move everything from 2018. Find prices as low as 60% off on outdoor dining sets, outdoor fireplaces, and aluminum and wicker furniture. Things will go quick, so stop in today. Do incredible things with your outdoor spaces so you'll absolutely love where you live. Outdoor Living, located on the south end of Bluff in the former Deseret Book location.
The most advanced breakthroughs in sleep have always started with Tempur-Pedic. Hi, I'm Dave Mizrahi, owner of Best Mattress. Tempur-Pedic technology was designed for NASA, for astronauts, for crying out loud. It doesn't get any more scientifically advanced than that, but you don't need a degree in physics to appreciate it. You just have to sleep on it. And with the Pro Adapt line, Tempur-Pedic takes it to an entirely new level of comfort. Try a Tempur-Pedic Pro Adapt today at Best Mattress, home of the Sleep Easy Guarantee.
Hi, it's Marty Lane, and guess what? I have acid reflux. Yes, for the past 15 years, I have suffered with acid reflux. However, it has developed into what's called Barrett's esophagus, so I have to have it checked every 3 years. But I also have a history of colon cancer in my family. So, yes, I needed to get a colonoscopy as well. I go to Dr. James Bown and recommend Utah Gastroenterology. I got to tell you, the guy's great. The whole staff is fantastic. It's a higher level of healthcare. Digestive problems can be embarrassing, painful, and in some cases, even life-threatening. That is why it is always best to seek the help of an experienced digestive specialist, a board-certified gastroenterologist, whether you have acid reflux, abdominal pain, or you're just ready to have your first colonoscopy. Utah Gastroenterology will help you safeguard your most priceless possession, your health. Go to Utah Gastroenterology. Look them up at utahgastro.com.
Are you tired of exposing your retirement to stock market risk? Are you tired of paying high fees and commissions, even when you're losing money? Lyle Boss specializes in safe money accounts with guarantee of principal, guaranteed growth, and income you can never outlive. Join Lyle Boss for Safe Money Radio every Friday at 5 to 6 and Saturday at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
John Gibson, digging up history. The guy who invented the first electronic computer did it in 1940, but until the 1970s, someone else got the credit. So how'd that happen? Bags under your eyes, lines around your eyes, try Instantly Ageless from Juness. It works in 2 minutes to make you look younger. This breakthrough skincare product helps those bags and lines disappear. Instantly Ageless from Juness. Go to johngibson.com. On the right, a square marked Juness. Click there. Find Instantly Ageless. 30-day money-back guarantee. Get a 25% discount. johngibson.com. Look for the Juness button on the right and be Instantly Ageless. John Atanasoff was a physics professor at the University of Iowa in 1940. He hated the clunky mechanical calculating machines, and he wanted to build an electronic calculator. He did it, and it was the first computer. But the people who invented the second computer in 1947 got credit for being the first. How'd that happen? It turned out our professor was called to the war, and he left the patent application with the university's lawyer, who did not understand it, and he just left the application in his desk drawer. A court straightened it all out in the 1970s, but Atanasoff had to wait because the lawyer couldn't figure it out. I'm John Gibson, digging up history.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show. going in two totally different directions in this show today, which I love to do that, actually. I've got so many interests and so many questions in my head that I wish we could have, 10 guests a day. It'd be really fun. I have with us today a Canadian expert on UFOs, Chris Rutowski, who is actually, fascinating to listen to. And I think you were just saying on the break, and I found this to be so interesting, because I said, have you always been open to this, or were you a skeptic going into this kind of research? And you had the greatest answer.
It's interesting. I tend to sit on the fence because hardcore skeptics think I'm far too much a believer. To actually go that's on funny. Your show and talk about UFOs, sure. That's just ridiculous. But whereas hardcore believers say I'm too skeptical because I do investigate. I explain mm-hmm. a lot of cases. I call a spade a spade. And if something seems a little bit too far-fetched and not grounded in science or reality, I'll say that. That doesn't mean that we can have some fun. It doesn't mean that we should forget about the subject entirely. What mm-hmm. we simply should do is just take a good common sense approach to what's really going on and look at the facts and also speculate and think about what's the possibility. Where are we going from here?
Yeah, absolutely. There was an article that talked about NASA coming out with some information that tiny, tiny creatures have visited. And so I wanted to get your take on this, whether that was true, not true. What was your take on that?
Well, that actually came from a Daily Mail article from England, and mm-hmm. they tend to have a little yeah, sensational fun sure. with it. But it was based on a research paper by Silvano Columbaro, who is a NASA scientist. He's actually a database expert. He was more speculative, but he was saying that it's possible that somewhere in all the case data, all the information that we have about UFOs and signals from space and so far, it's certainly possible that there's something in there that hardcore scientists are missing, because they tend to be looking for the more obvious. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't expect that aliens would be very, very small, so we would be looking for something small. On the other hand, we wouldn't expect radio signals in an inappropriate band, for example. We were looking for them in a specific area of the radio spectrum. So there's many ways in which it could be possible that there are aliens literally under our noses, according to him. Funny. And maybe we should pay attention to some of those. We're just being a little too selective.
Maybe so. Our experience along the way, it seems like, with all of the sightings that seem to get reported, and you would know more than me on this, very limited. Why would we not have had more interaction? Why keep it so limited for so many, centuries, if you will, where it's you might see a sighting and then they go? Why not more interaction?
Well, believe it or not, it's more likely that aliens visited us many, many thousands of years in the past than mm-hmm. they are right now. So, because the Earth's been around for a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. And if you look, we're, in the just over the past 50 years, this is when a lot of the interest in UFOs has really, been existing. And that's a very small window. It's what if, 200 years ago, aliens visited Earth, what would they have thought? If aliens visited Earth 2,000 years ago, 200,000 years ago, would they have bothered coming back? So to think that during this particular moment in time, aliens aren't that interested in us, maybe it's just the wrong time. Maybe this is just their coffee break and they'll be coming back soon.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I love that. Was there an experience that ever blew your mind? Did you have one that just stuck with you and you thought, there's no way that this has to be? This has to be a UFO.
Well, there's a couple of really strange ones. When you think about UFOs, I think most people think about Roswell and the crash mm-hmm. at Roswell.
Area 51.
Well, it turns out there's been a few other places that have had that, too. There's a case up in Canada that most of your listeners probably have never heard of, where a fellow walked up to, there was a classic Hollywood-style flying saucer that landed in a very remote area. He was doing some prospecting, mm-hmm. and he walked up to it and touched the side of it. There were some voices that were coming out from the outside. He thought it may be an American secret test vehicle or something. The thing burned his hand when he touched it, as he was wearing some rubberized gloves, but it melted. And then the thing took off with a blast of hot gas, set his clothes on fire, gave him second and third degree burns, and the thing took off. He eventually was treated in a hospital, and the case was investigated not only by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and the Canadian Air Force, but also the United States Air Force. And then there was material found at the site. There was radioactive debris, there was chunks of metal, all of which were tested by scientific laboratories, and the evidence alone in this case just is mind-blowing. We have 300 or 400 pages of documentation from both sides, from governments in two different countries, attesting that this actually happened, which is something we don't have with Roswell. So, you get that much evidence, you're thinking, well, there must be something to this case.
Yeah. Why do you think that the governments would have to, if they were concealing information from the public? I mean, why? What would be the vested interest, since we're not really getting a lot of interaction, maybe just sightings, it's limited to that. Why the concealment, do you think?
Well, there's a couple of good reasons why we don't know about some UFO cases and the government would cover them up. First of all, some troops on a mission somewhere in the world see a UFO. Mm-hmm. Details of that would certainly be not in their best interest. It would be compromising the integrity of the mission and certainly the lives of those people. If a pilot, an Air Force pilot, sees something while on a mission over, some country, a foreign country, and they see a UFO, that would be certainly something to be concerned about. And, we wouldn't, I don't think we would rightly need to know about some of those cases, but in reality, there was a number of instances where back in the 1950s, if I'm not mistaken, B-52 bombers with live nuclear warheads were in flight over North America, over many more North American cities with live warheads, in the event that they had to travel very quickly to retaliate against a foreign power. Mm-hmm. We have this information now, but back then, the fact that there was live nuclear warheads flying over Pittsburgh probably would have been very unsettling to most people.
Maybe so. I'll second that. All right. And also, I was noticing, too, that we have a particular uptick in mainstream covering these things. It used to be where anyone that believed in UFOs was always the tinfoil hat wearer. And now it is being covered. And it's always mysterious this, mysterious that in the sky. This was found. But I have noticed in the last 2 years, and maybe I don't know if you agree or disagree, but I've watched how much that we're getting, like on a weekly basis, which seems so, it seems weird to me that we're getting so much more right now. What would be your reasoning on this? Why do you think?
Well, certainly we're hearing about things more often. Mm-hmm. Wonderful Wide World Web is sure, making things so much easier to communicate. I get UFO reports daily. But in terms of media, it is true. There seems to be a shift into mainstream. There have been articles in major newspapers and magazines and on most of the major networks, Fox included, that are taking it more seriously. It used to be something that people would joke about.
Sure.
But it would be the last story on a newscast, for example, and you'd all chuckle about it. But, when you've got scientists, and there's many scientists now who are studying UFOs, in fact, there are hundreds, literally hundreds of doctoral PhD theses on the subject of UFOs, which are being done regularly at colleges and universities around the world, many in North America. So it's no longer a subject that is completely ludicrous. There certainly are some amusing elements, and we can have fun with those. But, there's a lot of speculation on what is exactly people are seeing. 10% of the North American population believe they've seen UFOs. Well, if 10% of the North American population broke out in purple spots, mm-hmm. There would be a serious investigation into what's really going on. 10% of the population that sees UFOs and it's sort of shuffled off. Well, maybe there's time to take a closer look at what's going on.
Oh, that's true, too. We're talking with Chris Rutowski. The website is UForum, UFO, UFO Forum. So it's UForum, UFORUM.blogspot.com, and you can find more information on him. I've covered CERN, and CERN has been very strange to me as far as what their plans are, what they would like to do, maybe some things that they could do. And I actually didn't ask you, I didn't tell you I was going to ask you about this, but I just wanted to get your take on the possibility of maybe some things that CERN might be undertaking that could maybe represent what we would think was some sort of sighting or something in the sky happening or what have you. What has been your experience with, or have you done any research about CERN?
Well, you know, with a physics background, I know about CERN. I mean, they're certainly trying to create particles and try to really push the boundaries in our understanding of how we got here. And, of course, with quantum effects, when you get to that point, a lot of strange things can happen. You can, you know, there's a whole series of speculative dissertations now about what, you know, is it possible that you know, we can find particles that are moving faster than the speed of light? Is it possible to, you know, to find things moving through time in different ways? And can we approach the limits of understanding going back to the Big Bang? It's a physics experiment, and there's great stories about, you know, if you actually create black holes in a laboratory, who knows what effects that will occur. I don't think it's going to be doing much personally in terms of creating UFO sightings and whatnot, because you know, it's a very small area of the country that we're talking about over in Europe. But, you know, there's experiments going on all the time. I've been inside the neutrino observatories in Minnesota and in other places, and you know, it's fascinating to see some of the experiments that are going on, sending neutrinos and other particles through the Earth, trying to understand what's really going on.
Yeah, I've just thought about that a lot lately, because I covered it about 3 years ago to start with. So I was just wondering. And then also I wanted to actually ask you, we only have a couple of minutes in this segment, but I wanted to ask you about space travel. You know, we've been hearing a lot from Bezos and Musk and all these people that believe that we're going to Mars, you know, basically tomorrow. So what was your take on that?
Well, I actually have a close friend who is number, I don't know, 600 or something on the list of getting onto Virgin Galactic and heading into space. Paid a lot of money for it, too. So I think space travel is something that is going to be coming a lot sooner than we think. It's just a matter of the timing. It's going to be certainly the type of thing that we'll be able to do as sort of as a tourist. But traveling further into space, landing on Mars, maybe colonizing Mars, I think within 50 years we'll certainly have achieved some of that. And reaching for the stars is something that is really appealing, because, you know, we talked about, you know, some people liken it to Columbus, but I don't know if that's a perfect analogy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I've always wondered how that would take place, or if it was even possible, or could we do that? And so, yeah, there's lots of speculation on that. For sure.
If the will is there and the money's there, I think we can probably do it.
Wow. So it's so fascinating to me. All of this is so fascinating to me. And with about a minute left, what was your first experience that led you into this line of study?
Well, there was a whole series of UFO sightings in the central Midwest in the mid-1970s, and the phone calls started coming into the astronomy department, and my professor in astronomy was not a fan of UFOs. In fact, he thought it was all nonsense, but as a young student, I thought, you know, I'll suck up, I mean, get into his good side by offering to take the phone calls. So I started taking the phone calls, and I found talking with people who'd seen things, you know, people were very sincere about just seeing things in the sky they couldn't explain, wondering what was really going on. And the more I talked with them, the more I was fascinated. And soon I found myself visiting, you know, people in their farmhouses. And it was just a fascinating experience.
I love it. Chris Rutaski, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate you. And you can go to uforum.blogspot.com. uforum.blogspot.com. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
Hi, it's Justin from the Mattress Store, encouraging you to shop local, like my friends at Tag & Go Car Wash.
Hey, this is Connor.
And this is Quinn from Tag & Go Express Car Wash.
Right now, before the end of January, shop at the Mattress Store and get a year membership at Tag & Go with the purchase of a new Tempur-Pedic.
With four Southern Utah locations, Washington by Best Buy, Bluff by Ace Hardware, Bloomington by the Walmart, and downtown Cedar City next to Lynn's, nobody sells more Tempur-Pedics in Southern Utah, and
nobody does it like Tag & Go.
Nobody!
Finley Hyundai.
It's game on this
this month at Findlay Hyundai. With their most advanced starting lineup of SUVs ever, check the 2019 Santa Fe Family Getaway SUV. Check 2019 Tucson, sporty, sensible, and just the right size. Check the all-new Kona, stylish, bold, fresh. Hyundai's first subcompact crossover. Hyundai comes with Hyundai Assurance, America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles powertrain limited warranty. If you're thinking SUV, think Hyundai. Findlay Hyundai on the savings side of the freeway. FindlayHyundaiSt.George.com.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
It's been perfect for me for the last couple of years. I just did it for health. I'm not one of these people that have some kind of, you know, issue or anything. I'm in good health and happy and can't complain. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's an easy-to-follow system. Take the fruits with breakfast and the veggies with lunch, and away I go. So it's easy to do. It's much, much better than the old vitamins that I used to take. It does everything I need to do. I've stayed healthy. I haven't had a cold in 2 years, so I'm doing good.
Use discount code Canyon for 35% off your first preferred set of fruits and veggies with free shipping. This offer is going to end between now and February, so act fast. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code Canyon.
Gold Ore Store is the best place in southern Utah and Nevada to buy gold and silver. Those who know this tend to keep it a secret because they want all the deals for themselves. We laugh about this, but want you to know that the time to buy gold and silver has never been better than right now. The market is ripe with the most incredible deals ever on 1 ounce gold and silver rounds. The Gold Ore Store, 7 North Main Street, St. George. Call 703-9119. Or goldorestore.com.
The Southwest Symphony presents The Best of Beethoven, Saturday, January 26th, featuring Beethoven's Fifth and the Beethoven Concerto for Violin in D, featuring Utah Symphony violinist David Park. Enjoy an evening dedicated to the music of Beethoven, Saturday, January 26th, 7:30 at the Cox Auditorium on the campus of Dixie State. For more information and tickets, go to swsutah.org. Buy four or more tickets and save 50%. Students save 50% using promo code STUDENT.
It's time for the Super Sale at the Ashley Home Store. Kick off the new year with style and great deals starting at just $249 or 36 months special financing. Check out this queen upholstered bed for just $499. How about this power sofa for $500 off? Dinner time is better with this five-piece dining room set for just $299. Plus, you can save up to 60% on all accessories. Make your way into the Ashley Sleep Center and get 3 years, no interest, no minimum purchase on your next mattress from Ashley Sleep, Sealy, or Beautyrest. But there's more. Check out floor models, sofa sets, sectionals, and bedroom sets that have been marked down drastically up to 50%. We gotta make room for new arrivals. It's the Super Sale. At the locally owned and operated Ashley Home Store, East Red Cliff Drive, in between the DI and the Pineview Stadium 10. All financing OAC. See store for details.
You're gonna love this Ashley Furniture Home.
The 2018 Lincoln MKZ at Ken Garf St. George Ford Lincoln is refined power at your control. With an available twin turbocharged 3.0-liter engine producing 400 horsepower, it's an exhilarating driving experience. And with MKZ retractable panoramic glass roof, change your outlook with a simple press of a button. Right now you can get 0% for 60 months and up to $3,800 in total savings from MSRP. Of $52,360 on the new 2018 Lincoln MKZ. Ken Garf St. George Ford Lincoln, we hear you. On approved credit through Lincoln AFS Financing OAC. In-stock inventory only. See dealer for details.
Little Caesars is now accepting applications for their new location opening soon across the street from Desert Hills. Little Caesars is a great place to work and offers flexible schedules and a fun work environment with biannual employee parties with amazing prizes. Pick up an application today at any of the five Southern Utah Little Caesars locations or at the new location across the street from Desert Hills High School. Come join the Little Caesars team at their new location. Little Caesars is an equal opportunity employer.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Hi there. Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show on a Friday. Packed show, huh? Went quick. I'm going to take your calls, 888-673-1450, open phone lines. We're live, so you can call right now. And, you know, there's my head is swimming, by the way. See, I'm not... I've never been somebody that's really hook, line, and sinker believed in UFOs. And I love this comment I got by text. Nancy Pelosi is proof of aliens, just not intelligent life. We have a lot of those. Oh, boy. Because my questions were, I always wondered why there wasn't more than just a sighting. You know, why isn't there more? And so I always have, I love to interview people like Chris because I like to know why they are doing this line of work and what leads them to that and what convinced them, basically. He's interviewed thousands of people. And I guess, you know, when you're listening to that many accounts, I mean, you've got to listen. They're, you know, you can test their sincerity and do as much as you can. It's probably hard to know. We were just talking on the break and he hasn't had a sighting, either have I. So kind of interesting stuff. His book is The Big Book of UFOs, The World of UFOs, The Canadian UFO Report. He's written many, many books. Chris Rutowski, R-U-T-K-O-W-S-K-I. And uforum.blogspot.com is his website, but The Big Book of UFOs. And so everything fascinates me. I'm usually open to everything. I try not to make up my mind, but it's hard to do that, isn't it? We all have, you know, certain things that we've kind of decided how we feel about. It's what fascinated me too is as I've studied CERN, it's interesting the uptick in accounts of those types of experiences. Not only is the media covering it more, but I'm talking the number of accounts has gone up, and we were both agreeing about that on the break. It was, yeah, there's more of them. And so that was my thought, was how easily can these things be manipulated by something other than what we would think was a mysterious UFO? Can CERN create certain events to happen? Can they create, an earthquake in South America? There's been a lot of talk about that. Certainly when they were busy doing some of their things, there was a kind of an uptick in those kinds of events, tremors, things like that. Also, can something in the sky be manipulated? I always go back to Wernher von Braun. Wernher von Braun was a scientist, German scientist, and his big warning before he died on his deathbed was that there were certain phases that were coming, and the government. See, he died in the 70s. And he said, and he was a German scientist that we took out of Germany after the war. And then he was in NASA. And he had his assistant going around saying, look, they're going to use phases to manipulate. And they were going to use the terror phase. And once they couldn't do that anymore, they couldn't convince us that there were terrorists around every corner. And I'm sure there are terrorists, so we're not negating that. But to the level of trying to embark on new laws and trying to steal freedom and liberty to get some agenda done, they were going to use terror. And then the final phase would be space. That would be the final phase. And using events and using UFOs and using these types of things to create an atmosphere of fear, also to, you know, they kind of run out of places to expend dollars to that aren't accounted for. And so there would be a drive for dollars in this way. And then, of course, we see space wars prop up, right? Space Force, I'm sorry. But that's been in the works for a long time, long before Trump. And so my question is always, so how would that be manipulated? And is it competing with something true? If this is true, and we do have these types of sightings, then could it be a combination of the both? So they get in on that action, the government, and they start to use certain experiences to cause fear or to have more government security come in, to create more avenues of government that would create more avenues of government for us, to steal more liberty, to take more freedom, and to enact more laws. And like I said, taking the revenue from the American people and expending that into areas that we would have a hard time knowing if it was actually getting spent on that or not. Who's it really going to? But we think it's going to help us to be safe, right, from anything coming at us from space. So I'm always thinking about this in the back of my mind, Wernher von Braun, because when I heard that and studied that, something clicked, and I thought, you know, I can see that type of manipulation. And for those of you that would say, Kate, they're not out to get us, the government. Well, then I beg to differ. Sorry. It is insane when you really start studying this, the agendas that were put forth so long ago. I'd have to differ with you, because from what I've seen, what I've read, and what I've heard, there are no bounds to their audacity in trying to create things that to get us to believe something. So with that being said, I'm always open, and it could it be a combination? I don't know if any of you have had experiences like that. I'm not sure. And so you're welcome to weigh in on those too. It's open phone lines, 888-673-1450. The other thing that's swimming around in my brain is my interview with Daniel Estulin, who wrote the book In the Shadows of the Presidency. He covered a lot of ground. And when he talked about the fact that we are warring over platforms, the growth and the enormity of Amazon and all of the areas they're getting into as far as like, prescriptions, and I mean, they're getting it. They're vastly growing, right? They were also, I think there was a lot of relationships between Bezos, the CIA government, to expand and maybe given some of those vehicles to do that, to become the big monster, to compete with Alibaba, which is China. And so if you own that platform, if you run those platforms, you pretty much run the entire economy. And so the goal is world economy, right? And so, like he said, this what's happening in Venezuela, what's happening in Syria, what's happening in France, what's happening all over the place right now with all the unrest is that you probably won't see any attacks or violence because of agreements that they made, right, in the 70s. You won't see actual violence. You'll see a lot of rhetoric. You'll see a lot of threatening and positioning and all of that. You're not going to see that, but there is a definite fight for the economies and who will own those platforms. And as we were talking, it really struck me, too, how he kept bringing up regions, that people are, our countries are all dividing into regions, and that your region, the strength of your region will mean survival. And these vested interests, who's against who? And he was talking about, basically BRICS against the British Empire and how they're all vying for, and there's several more that are fighting for these economies. So in Venezuela, it's not so much about the good guy versus bad guy who's in power. It was more about what vested interest, what empire, say the British Empire, is going to sell an ally to somebody else, sell off an ally to somebody else, or sell out an ally for the gain. And so they're all fighting over who gets those gains, right? And that's what it's always been about. That's what it was about in Cuba. That's what it was about in, name a coup. We should have a game show, name a coup. Libya, Syria, all of these different places. That it's usually always about, right, the profiteering, invested interests and gains. And so his conversation was fascinating because of him being in Russian intelligence and then also in other intelligences here. The scope of information that Daniel Estulin had was fascinating as far as putting the pieces together, because we were talking about treaties, and I brought up the what I call the North American Union Treaty, and I am not happy about it, obviously, and it ruins our sovereignty. And he said, in a sense, he was saying it's too late for sovereignty. It's too late for any of that. We're so far past that. And I thought, oh, my heart sank, because that's what we're fighting for. And he said it will crop up now in regions, and this is what we discuss in the podcast I'll be putting up that didn't get aired today. That it's about who are you going to region with, and the strength of that to fight against China, against these big regions. But it's so much more regional than we ever anticipated, and so I still think that our Constitution is worth fighting for. America's worth fighting for. But he was very, the warning of this is where we're headed. So it wasn't like, as if he liked that information. He was just saying, this is a warning about where this is going to where this is going to land. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, Kate.
Hi there.
It's not too late for sovereignty.
Of course.
You just put people in the power in this country, in the Congress and the president that supports sovereignty. You abolish all these entangling alliances, these international regional governments like NAFTA or now the USMCA, and also NATO and so forth.
Sure.
That's hogwash. I thought, I'm going to be real honest with you. I thought it was just disinformation from one end to the other. He said several things that were just absolutely wrong. He gave a lot of assertions without backing them up. You know, he talked about Putin real briefly. It's nonsense, his assassinations. It's documented. He's assassinated and he's tortured many people. He's eliminated his opposition. He's blown up cars of journalists.
I don't think he was saying that. I don't think he was vouching for his character as his best friend. I think what he was trying to say is he's up against some of the vested interests that Trump is fighting too. And so that's what his point was. So,
I'm just quoting what he said. I heard him say it real quickly.
Well, I don't think he commented on
nonsense about his assassinations. But, you know, on the other side, you know, this president we have is the epitome of a globalist. And everybody's in the media is keeping this so quiet from you. When he bombed Syria the first time, he said his authority came from the United Nations. He cited the UN Chemical Weapons Convention as his authority. He's expanded the strength in NATO. He's the one who went around the world and it helped get it funded. The more funds they have, the more harm they can do to us when he's hinted he's going to get out of it. This new USMCA, we really got to focus on this thing. As Alex Newman said on your show, they included the sea treaty in that thing. You know what the sea treaty basically does? It turns 70% of the world over to world government, to the UN.
Yeah.
It really needs to be. They've been trying to get this through since the Bush administration. It's really serious stuff. The vast majority of the oceans the world are completely controlled by the UN under this. The coastal areas are regulated very heavily by the UN. This is real dangerous stuff.
Okay.
And that's the worst integration regional government treaty in the history of America. I mean, the UN was at the time was worse, but this has really got to be stopped. And we just see nothing but globalism all over the place.
Yes. In fact, I'm going to answer that because we're getting late and we got to go to a break. So I had to cut you off. Sorry. He answers a lot of what you just talked about, caller. So in the broadcast that wasn't aired that I'm going to be putting up, because there was just so much to, there was so much to our interview. So I'm going to be putting that up and then you can hear what he had to say about the very things that you're bringing up. He wasn't in favor of globalism in general. He's not in favor of it. What he was trying to do is point out some of the groups working together and that the peoples, just like the peoples of America, are not seeing the big picture of what is actually taking place. He wasn't actually for it. He was just describing it. So there's a difference. And also as far as who backs Trump or who Trump is fighting against, that some of the backers, yes, in the very beginning, some of the backers that backed him would probably go back to the Rothschilds, but that he is actually fighting or trying to oust some of the, like he talked about, the liberal bankers is what he called them. There's a whole, offshoot of these individuals that are fighting every time he turns, and he's trying to get some things done to oust them, but it's been very, very difficult to do. And so he's trying. So that was one of his points, was he wasn't even in favor of Trump. He was trying to describe that what Trump is doing to fight those elements. And I think he's worth a listen to ask about that. Also that Putin is, and I've come to realize this too, that Putin is working against some of the same machinery that we are. And that Russia is very afraid of being picked apart into pieces, because that's kind of the direction we're going in. That was the point that Daniel Estulin was making. So that Russia doesn't have the capacity to fight. And we've always talked about the fact that if we wanted to go up against Russia, we would probably win. But if we went up against China, we probably would not. So there were a lot of things he's saying that resonated. And not everything I said I agreed with, but I do want to understand why he thinks it. And that's the most important thing we can do, is say, why do you think this? That's the question we should always ask. Instead of standing there and saying, well, this goes against what I think, instead of that, say, well, why? Why do you feel this way? I think that's the only way to really truly get educated and get past cognitive dissonance, too. So I think he's worth a listen, and I would definitely check out the podcast I'll be putting up that was not aired, because he does fill in a lot of gaps on who's working with whom and who's working for whom. So it's very interesting. Anyway, everybody have a fantastic weekend. I have Dr. Mark Skidmore coming on Monday, the guy that found the missing $23 trillion from Michigan. Oh, yeah, he'll be on the show. Everybody have a good one. Be faithful. Be fearless.
You wanted to transfer a prescription to a different pharmacy, but you're stuck waiting until you need a refill, right? Not so. Sam Stuckey with Stuckey Family Pharmacy says your pharmacist will take care of it for you.
In the pharmacy world, we all talk together. We transfer prescriptions among ourselves and all the pharmacies all day long. At any time, if you ever need a prescription at a different pharmacy, you just talk to the pharmacy. They'll take care of it for you.
Experience the difference at Stuckey Family Pharmacy, just off Telegraph near Kohl's, or online at StuckeyFamilyPharmacy.com. Stuckey Family Pharmacy, where you are family.
If you're looking for a new floor, you have questions. You need an expert with hands-on experience who has answers. Home Flooring Connection is Southern Utah's premier flooring company. Together, Brent and his family have over 40 years' experience. No one's made a bigger statement in home flooring than Home Flooring Connection, and they offer the options for you to make a statement in your home, including window coverings. Visit their gallery located at 765 North Bluff Street across from Fabulous Freddy's, or online at homeflooringconnection.com.
93.1 FM, 1450 AM, KZNU St. George, 93.1 FM, Cedar City, KAZZ Parowan, KCLS, HD4, Lee.